It's nice to be able to open up our own Bible and look at the scriptures as they are being read this morning. And I'm hoping to do a few messages on this subject that I think is very important concerning some of the things that we may be going through, some of the difficulties that we may be facing in life. It doesn't matter whether we're old or young, we all go through tough times. How many know that's the truth? Just when you thought it was safe to go outside, something happens, and we don't know the future. Only God knows the future. The Bible says to take one day at a time, because we know that the days can be evil. And so I think this subject this morning that I'm going to talk about is of extreme importance and will become more important as we get closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many know He's coming back? I said, how many know He's coming back? I want to declare this morning that we are just pilgrims. This is not our home. He has prepared a place for us. Praise God. Father, I just thank You this morning for Your precious word. And I pray this morning as Your word is read, as I minister Your word, that You would give me that anointing that I need, Lord, to teach, to preach, to declare the truth. Help me, O God, I pray. Help me, O Lord. I'm depending upon Your Holy Spirit this morning. Open our spiritual eyes, I pray, that we may see, perceive, understand what the Spirit is saying this hour. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. And I'm reading from the New King James. It might be a little different in your version, but I think you'll be able to follow along. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together. I want to say that again. Joined and knit together. Isn't that what God is calling for us to do in this hour, to be joined and knit together? Can somebody say amen this morning? Joined and knit together. You know, I've never knit anything, but my mom has. My mom loves to knit. And she does these washcloths and all kinds of other things. When Matthew was born, she knit so much clothes for him. And she would sit there and just knit. And, you know, there's something about that word. It means to be interwoven. Interwoven. And, you know, the greatest lie of the devil in Creston. How many would like to know what the biggest lie of the devil is in this town and in this valley? Here it is. I don't need the church. I can serve God on my own. I don't need to come to church and hear the word. I don't need those people. Those people. That, and I've been here for 2 years and a couple of months, and I am still very much in love with Creston. Every day I'm here, I fall in love with Creston more and more and more and more. But I have found that is one of the biggest lies of the devil in this town. And I come against that lie in the name of Jesus. And I break that stronghold of the enemy. Come on, somebody. I break it down in the name of Jesus. I destroy it in the name of Jesus. I don't need the church. I can serve God on my own. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Now, if you're on a desert island, so be it. If you're in a prison cell, so be it. But we need to be joined and knit together. That's what the Bible says. And I want to say this morning, this message is so important because as we get closer to the coming of Jesus, we are going to suffer persecution. Hatred is already rising in our nation against Christians. They hate Andrew Scheer. They hate anyone that stands up for anything righteous. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Now, I use that word joint loosely. It means the ligaments, the bones, the apparatus of the body. We need each other. The head cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. Every part of the human body is necessary to function properly, and it's the same thing in the church. Hello? Even the parts that we think are not necessary, God says they're important. What every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body, causes the growth of the body. All those things I've just said happening will cause the body to grow. Hello? Thank you for that amen. For the edifying of itself in love. Now I want to go to some verses that I've never preached on before. And a book that I don't preach on very often. Ecclesiastes. Have you ever read Ecclesiastes? Great book. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9. And let's dig into this a little bit more. We're talking about the importance of being knit together. We're not independent entities. serving God on our own. We are intertwined with each other. When one suffers, we all suffer. We all feel Chester and Gail's pain this morning because we're intertwined with each other. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. Hello, someone. I like to hear that. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. I've never preached from this before, but some really good verses here. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. Man, you can have one car, but if you got two, that's better. That's not what it says, right? I was going to say, if you have one wife, you have two. No, that doesn't work like that. That's not how it works. So get that out of your head. I know. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. Hello? One will lift up his companion. If you're in the woods and you trip over a twig and sprain your ankle and you're on your own, it would be trouble. I think Dorothy experienced that. Right, Dorothy? You can relate to what I'm talking about. So if you're all by yourself spiritually, trying to work out this Christianity on your own, and you fall, who's going to be there to pick you up? Nobody. Nobody. And those unsaved people, I hear this all the time. I've got some great friends, but they're unsaved. Yes, well, that may be true to a certain degree, but they can't understand the spiritual realm. What you're going through spiritually. And there is a spiritual battle going on. They can't perceive or understand what you're going through. Only another believer can. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. For he has no one to help him up. And friends, I want to say this morning, we all go through times and seasons. I've come through mine recently. And we all need someone in our corner. We need people. Yes, I know we have God. Yes, I know we have the Holy Spirit. But God has designed the body in such a way that we can have an actual person in our corner praying for us. Again, I've never preached on this before, but there's some good verses here. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. Do you know that some people have survived? They have survived out in the wild. Yes, by themselves, but some people have survived days because they were two of them together. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And I'd like to spiritualize this today by saying, you know what? Sometimes we need our brother to put a fire under us. Come on, hello. We're getting a little lukewarm. We're getting a little cold spiritually. And we need our brother and sister to come alongside of us and throw a few sticks of wood on the fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But if you're by yourself, who's going to do that? And verse 12 is very powerful. It says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And you know, the devil likes to pick out the people that have isolated themselves. That's the ones he thrives upon. The stragglers. Hello? That's what he did to Israel. The stragglers in the back. He picked them off. That's what the wolves do. The weak, the beggarly, those animals that are sick, they pick them off. And let me say this morning, the devil roams to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And we need some help in this corner. We need someone to stand with us against the forces of darkness. You know, I don't mean to be pessimistic, but the truth of the matter is, anxiety is growing. Spirit of anxiety is growing on the face of the earth. The devil knows his time is short. Depression, all these things are growing. It's an epidemic. It's an epidemic. Because the enemy is coming and he's oppressing the believer. To get them to give up on God. And sometimes we need someone to come alongside of us and say, you know what, I know you're feeling weak right now, but I'm going to stand with you. And we are going to defeat the enemy in the name of Jesus. We're going to come up against him together in the name of Jesus. And then the Bible says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Woo! I feel this message in my spirit so strongly. You say, Pastor, when is this church going to fill up? Forget about that. It's how many are going to come together. Hallelujah. How many are going to be intertwined? Hallelujah. Glory to God. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Intertwining of that cord. The devil's trying to break us. The devil's trying to break us. But he can't do it when we're intertwined together by the Holy Spirit. Are you following me this morning? 50 people intertwined is a greater threat to the enemy than 5,000 in a building that are dislocated. Are you hearing me? The devil hates unity. The devil hates unity. Come on, somebody. He despises when God's people come together in the name of Jesus. They allow their lives to be intertwined with each other. I want to read verse 12 again. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Can you feel it this morning? Can you feel what I'm talking about? Deep in your spirit, God is saying something spiritual this morning. Here Paul says in verse number 10, "Now I plead with you, brethren." Well, that's a strong word. "I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." Does that mean God wants us to be robots? No, it's not what it's talking about. It's a spiritual thing. "That you may all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you." Paul's pleading to the Corinthians, "that there be no divisions among you." And here's God's standard. Forget about my standard and your standard. Here's God's standard. "That you be perfectly joined together." That's God's desire. That we be perfectly joined together. Now, this is so important. Because when God moves, we have to move with Him. We're not asking God to move with us. God is asking us to move with Him. So if you have an army that's disjointed and not together and there's no unity, there's going to be a problem somewhere. Because when God starts marching, we have to march with Him. So we have to hear His voice together and understand what He's saying in this hour. "That you be perfectly joined together." That is God's desire. In fact, Jesus prayed it in the book of John. We would be one together. Together in the same mind. That doesn't mean that we're going to think all the same thing, but generally, we are going to have a sense together of what God is saying and what God is doing, and we are willing to walk in the path that God has laid out for us. Oh, come on, somebody. Can you shout amen, somebody? Hallelujah. "And in the same judgment, to a certain degree, the same beliefs to a certain degree." We may all have a slightly different thinking on certain things. Overall, thinking the same thing, believing the same thing. Are you hearing me this morning? Paul's pleading. He's asking, come together, be joined together. That's not something that can be done in the flesh. It can only be carried out as we submit to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And some people, there's a few, maybe not here, but somewhere else, they don't want to be joined together. You know, in the Old Testament, there was different kinds of fabric that was not to be intertwined together. How many know what I'm talking about? Because only the lover of Jesus can be intertwined with another lover of Jesus. Are you hearing me? Yes, we're on different levels spiritually. We're all growing. But you can't mix the yarn. Or yes, it won't work. Think about that for a minute. One last scripture before we go to communion. Hope this is speaking to you loud and clear. Look at Judges chapter 20, verse number 7. Boy, this is it right here. When I read this, I thought, wow. Wow. Man, the Bible is saying so much to us. All we got to do is preach it and teach it and read it and meditate upon. Oh, glory to God. You say, Pastor, why do you get so excited? When I think about the Bible, I get excited. I hope that never leaves me. No matter if I'm 70 years old and Jesus hasn't come back yet and I'm still here. I know some of you are past that, right? You're still here. So I'm going to still be here. I'm going to claim it. Hallelujah. I want to be here. I do. Verse 7. Look, all of you. All of you are children of Israel. Give your advice and counsel here and now. We have a situation where something despicable happened among one of the tribes of Israel. And instead of repenting, they defended the sin. The rest of the children of Israel said, we're going to have to deal with this. So all the people arose as one man saying, one man, none of us will go to his tent, nor will any turn back to his house. But now this is the thing which we will do to Gibeah. That was the city that defended. Homosexuality and the abuse of a woman. We will take 10 men, verse 10. We will take 10 men out of every 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel. 100 out of every 1,000 and 1,000 out of every 10,000 to make provisions for the people, that when they come to Gibeah and Benjamin, they may repay all the vileness that they have done in Israel. Friends, I want to share something with you. And I'm not here to scare anybody, but the truth of the matter is the devil's real. He's real. His demons are well organized, and they are real. And we are in, every day, a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. He wants to steal your children. He wants to destroy your inheritance. But look what it says in verse 11. So all the men of Israel, this is a very powerful verse. So all the men of Israel were gathered together against the city, united together as one man. They were united together as one man. If you're going to attack him, you're going to have to get over me first. If you're going to attack her, you're going to have to get through all of us first. But woe to the person that's alone by themselves with no one to help, no one to stand with them. You say, well, God will stand with me. Yes, I understand that. But you know what? God has orchestrated the body that we would come together, joined and fit together, to fight together in the name of Jesus. That when Satan tries to take your child, we come together and say, hands off, devil. Hands off. You know, we have authority. Can I say it again? We have authority. And together as one man, we have mighty authority. We have been invested with his power and his authority over every snake and over every demon power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, the devil's riled up. But together, joined together, knit together, we can defeat him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. When you're weak, someone else is strong. And when they're weak, you're strong. And we come together in the name of Jesus. If two or three shall agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're not just coming together religiously. We're not just coming together for something to do. We're coming together because there's power and anointing in that corporate gathering of God's people. Every major revival that has ever happened, it wasn't just one person praying. It might have started with one, but then people began to gather together to pray. God did his work. Friends, we need the Holy Spirit to knit us together. 50 or 60 or 70 of us knit together can accomplish great and mighty things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that true? Hey, where did you get that message from? The Bible. Here in this book. I'm going to pray this morning. God would knit us together. Situations and circumstances might be happening, but there's always a purpose, a reason. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you you can do it on your own. You don't need them. And I always ask myself, how's it working for you? How's that lonely stuff working for you? It doesn't work. Because God's design is the body functioning according to this book. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. God holds our tomorrows.